This podcast is brought to you by the Diamond Alternative Earrings from Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. Get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79 from Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Howie Diamond. Shipping is free.
It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's my privilege to play a part in forging extraordinary progress for the American people. I have enjoyed working with three presidents.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco.
Now that's what I call a curveball.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the president's family.
That's Rigel Crooks.
I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
And that doesn't even begin to touch the Chinese communist who paid millions to Hunter Biden with, as you know the phrase, 10% for the big guy.
Just follow the money.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. We're going to keep an eye all day, or as long as we have to, on this situation on Martha's Vineyard, of all places, where a bank was robbed today by three people who have thus far eluded authorities eight hours now. Anyway, though, I wanted to talk to about the midterm elections with somebody who has a very interesting take on it, Ryan Gerdusky. And he's an author, a podcast host, political consultant, and a journalist. He's from New York City, and he's the author of an upcoming book, They're Not Listening, How the Elites Created the National Populist Revolution. He's been on Grace's show a couple of times, Ryan Gerdusky. And yesterday he was on with Clay and Buck in the afternoon, and he was talking about the midterms. He had some interesting observations. Ryan Gerdusky, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you so much, Howie. How are you?
I'm very good. There are a couple of things. I was just reading the transcript of your what you were saying yesterday, and one thing that really stood out to me, because I didn't think this was going to be the case at all. You're saying that abortion was a huge driver for the Democrats in these midterms.
Yes, it was. So I have a Substack, the National Populist Substack, which you can subscribe to, and I broke down the entire postmortem of the election. And basically what happened was Republicans had a surge in turnout. They turned out far more than Democrats did, especially minority Democrats had a very, very weak turnout. The one difference that separated between Republicans and Democrats were Republicans lost independent votes, and they lost independent votes by a lot. And it was over the issues, election denialism and abortion. It drove away college-educated white voters who are the largest swing voters in the country, and that is why nearly every candidate that either had an extreme position on abortion or an extreme position on the 2020 election lost on a statewide. I mean, almost unanimously across the country. Perfect example is Arizona. They had 9 statewide candidates. Republicans won 5, and looks like they lost 4. The 4 campaigned on the 2020 election being stolen. The 5 did not campaign on that. And it goes on and on and on. Abortion also did not cause this media narrative, which is that a massive amount of young people turned out to vote for Democrats. That absolutely did not happen. The data shows it. Tufts University did a whole study on it. They do one of the youth vote every year. They're the experts in the youth vote. They say it didn't happen whatsoever. But where it affected voters was college-educated swing voters, especially in suburban districts, which cost many House seats and many Senate seats.
Let me ask you something, Ryan Gerdusky. You know, you talk about abortion being a big issue for college-educated swing voters. Now, if you've been to college, I would think you'd be able to read up on abortion and see that all the Supreme Court did was say this is up to the states, and most states aren't going to do anything to change their abortion laws. So, I mean, with a minimum, and a bare minimum of research, you could figure out that the Dobbs decision didn't really change anything in the vast majority of jurisdictions in the United States. So why were they so, excited about this decision?
Well, ironically, they didn't punish pro-life governors. Abbott, DeSantis, Kemp, Reynolds, the governor from Ohio, whose name just slipped my
DeWine.
Mind, I'm trying to say it.
DeWine.
DeWine. They all won in huge election victories. So they didn't actually have a problem with the pro-life legislation locally. I think when people like Lindsey Graham came out demanding a federal abortion ban, that freaked them out in the sense that you will not get an abortion anywhere in the country. That really was the problem with a lot of them. Also, several Republican candidates, like Dr. Oz, saying abortion will between you, your doctor, and your local government. Not a quality answer. The governor candidate, Mastriano of Pennsylvania, said that he was going to imprison women who got abortions and charge them with murder. Really not a popular answer. And so these signs definitely did not help. And I'll add one more thing aside from the election and aside from abortion. The third thing that Republicans had a bad job on messaging was Social Security. You had Rick Scott sitting there and saying, if we get in power, we're going to cut Social Security. Really,
well,
he
said that they would just reconsider every federal program on 5-year increments. That's what he said.
I understand what he said. But that's not how people heard it, and that's two.
Well, because Biden lied about it.
That's politics. People lie about things all the time. You can't, but don't give them the ammunition, especially when ACT Blue, which is the Democratic fundraising organization. They were able to raise $75 million for John Fetterman alone. They were able to raise $15 million against Marjorie Taylor Greene alone. You know, a lot of conservatives have a problem with Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell. I will say without them, we wouldn't have won the House, and we probably, maybe, I would have cost us another Senate seat, possibly, because they're the only ones who can bring $100 million to the fight. We just don't have the fundraising apparatus that Democrats do. So one little slip up, Blake Masters saying he was for privatizing Social Security in a debate, that answer was magnified by $40 million of advertisement buys the next day. That is how dramatic the money situation is, Republican and Democrat.
You know, the Democrats they want to abolish the Electoral College because, you know, Trump got fewer votes, popular votes, than Hillary Clinton, okay? And you've heard these arguments. But now, according to everything I've seen, when you add up all the votes in the House of Representatives, the Republicans got 5 or 6 million more votes than the Democrats.
That's true.
Is this an existential threat to democracy, the Republicans getting more votes? Yet they have this this razor-thin lead in the number of elected representatives, despite winning overall in a landslide.
Right. Well, here's the thing that Republicans did. So in red districts, Republicans super overperformed because Republican voters were charged, and because Republicans have made significant grounds with Hispanics and with Asians in urban districts, they overperformed. Look at Grace Meng in New York City. She only got 62% in her district. Look at, there were four congressional districts in Los Angeles that Biden won by 30, that the Democrat congressional candidate won by 15. Huge surges among the urban areas where it doesn't really matter. But where it mattered was these suburban districts, North Carolina 13, Kansas is 4th. All of these areas outside of New York and Florida, which should have red waves, that's really where it became problematic for Republican candidates. And it was because of very much so messaging on these three issues that made swing voters feel very isolated. So going to the future, Republicans can clearly win the popular vote. It's not without our grasp. We can do it. We just need to sit there and really learn, how to magnify our message to these voters. Remember, when Trump ran in 16 and won, one of his biggest policies, I will not touch your Social Security. So it gave a lot of comfort to people. All of a sudden, you're going to run on the complete opposite message. Rick Scott saying, I'm going to raise your Social Security and increase your working middle class and working class taxes. Really, really, really not a smart messaging ploy from one of the biggest leaders in the Republican Party.
And a guy who can raise a lot of money, too. I mean, he can raise he can raise as much money as McConnell or McCarthy or close to it. He did.
Absolutely. And if conservatives want an alternative, it's going to have to be somebody who can raise a lot of money. The reason Elise Stefanik is in House leadership, despite the fact that she is the one of the most liberal Republicans in America, despite the fact that she voted against Trump's wall several times, the fact that she wanted amnesty every time it came
She's also already endorsed Trump, as you saw. She was like the second one with Matt Gaetz to endorse him.
She knows which way the wind's blowing and which doesn't bite the hand that feeds her. But the reason she's in leadership, in part, is because she raises a lot of money for other House candidates. Anybody who wants to be the future leader in the party has to present an alternative to Stefanik and McCarthy and all the rest of them by raising a lot of money so that way Republicans have an alternative to Democrats' Act Blue army of donors.
Who do you think screwed it up the most for Republicans, Lindsey Graham or Rick Scott or somebody else?
You know what I said? The election was a death of a thousand cuts. Trump making people take this stupid oath about the 2020 election was dumb. McConnell is spending $20 million in the Alabama primary that he won and $5 million in the New Hampshire primary that he lost. And then
how about
say,
Alaska?
Oh, sorry. And 9 million Alaskans say, I'm sorry, I have no money for Arizona. Horrible decision. Rick Scott's messaging was terrible. Tom Emmer, who won a whip vote by a mistake because some guy clicked the wrong button in his vote count in the House the other day. Horrendous mistake. He didn't jump on crime way until the September election. It was the death of a thousand cuts. A lot of bad decisions from a lot of bad people. But look, at the end of the day, the people, the voters are with Republicans. It's totally possible to win so long as you're trying to speak to them where they are. This was a quality of life election. So candidates who spoke about crime, the quality of living, the economy as how they were really going to fix it, governors who said how they made their states better, they won. People who got lost in the nuance of Social Security and abortion, they lost. To speak to voters because they're really hurting, and they're clearly saying, "All Republicans, I'll give you a chance. Just meet me halfway."
Ryan Jurduski, this is very interesting conversation, and I'd like to have you on again. And where can people read your stuff?
And the National Populist Newsletter on Substack. Please subscribe. It's a lot of data about every kind of election there is.
All right. Thank you, Ryan Jurduski. Very interesting conversation. There's nothing worse than the mall in the months leading up to the holidays. 12 children screaming, 11 minutes to find parking, 10 Karens Karening. The list goes on. Right now, you can shop early, skip the stress, and snag some of the best deals of the season on something everyone will love, premium audio products from Raycon. Raycon's wireless earbuds, headphones, and speakers offer premium sound, useful features, an almost custom comfortable fit, and up to 54 hours of battery life. And they start at half the price of other premium audio brands. Plus, Raycon makes gifting easy with holiday gift guides for everyone in your life, mom, dad, kid, coworker, fitness lover, etc. Or knock out that list all at once and get 30% off by shopping Raycon's holiday bundles. Please share your favorite bundle, it says. And my favorite bundle is just for myself. I don't need any holiday bundles. Everyone needs a pair of Raycons in their ears, whether it's for listening to music, taking work calls, or blasting a workout playlist. I've been listening to Bob Dylan this week, and I did again today on my walk. Today it was Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits, Volume 2. Oh, man, it's so good. I Shall Be Released, Crash on the Levee, When I Paint My Masterpiece, Maggie's Farm, all these great songs. And, you know, you may not like Bob Dylan. You probably like different artists than I do. But when you get the Raycons, you can listen to tunes, to albums, to music you haven't heard in years or maybe even decades. And the music sounds better than ever with the Raycons. They're the best. You can find Raycons in stores now like Kohl's or Walmart, but let me tell you that you're always going to get the best deal when you use my special link, buyraycon.com/Howie. The Raycon website also offers buy now, pay later options. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/Howie and use code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide. Or save even bigger and get 30% off Raycon's exclusive holiday bundles. That's code EARLYBF at buyraycon.com/Howie for 20% off your Raycon purchase. Buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
He regretted to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. So our poll question is back, is finally up, and it's been up for a while now. The holidays are right around the corner, and I'm ready. Why? I use HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers delicious recipes and ingredients right to my door. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie65 and use code Howie65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Nancy Pelosi still be in Congress a year from now?
No, I do not think so. I don't think she'll be in Congress by Memorial Day.
77% say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. You know, we're going to have a guest on to talk about this bank robbery on Martha's Vineyard. And again, if you're not from the area, bank robberies happen all the time. Not as much as they used to, but they still happen all the time. But they don't usually happen on an island that doesn't have a bridge to get off the island. And so they thought that these guys had somehow gotten off the island. It happened at 8 o'clock this morning. There were three of them with masks. They got the bank employees as they came to work. They tied them up, and they thought they escaped the island somehow, maybe on the ferry, and they surrounded a motel in Falmouth on Cape Cod where the ferry lands, and they thought they were there, but they weren't. So they're still apparently on the island. They've airlifted state police canines into to try to find them. They've got detectives from the state police, and it's a very interesting story. It's like a movie. Or a film noir or a novel, but it's pretty interesting what's going on. So we'll take a couple of calls. This people want to talk about this a little bit, and we'll talk about the politics too here too. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
All right, here's how the heist worked, in my opinion. Excluding the fact that maybe it was the three cops that patrol the area.
Stop it. This isn't the Medford Depositors Trust, David. Come on. Dave, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie, if they did in fact get off the island, it was clearly pre-planned, because you know how hard it is to get a ferry reservation on and off the island.
I mean, it's not the summer though. We're in the off season. Is it still that hard to get a reservation, Dave, to get off the island?
It's still hard because the Steamship Authority has fewer boats going back and forth. And whatever their take was, I hope it was more than $200, because that's what a round trip ferry costs these days.
You're kidding. 200? Yeah, that can't be. Can that be possibly true, Dave? Yeah. $200?
Yes, a vehicle and one passenger.
Oh, a vehicle.
Several times a year. Vehicle and one passenger. $200.
I don't know. I think they're on the island. What do you think?
I think if they are on the island, it's a very insular community off season. It's maybe 7,000 to 10,000 residents. So they're going to know who it is.
Right. Most of the people that are there own the houses, and they're year-round residents. And I'm sure you have some rental units where the people who work at the restaurants that are still open downtown or in the towns stay. And so
there's a lot of Airbnbs, I would imagine, too.
I don't think they'd be staying in Airbnbs, would they? I would think they would be staying in one of those places where
less security measures, like cameras and things like that. People don't see you coming and going all that often. It's, I would say, probably better than a hotel.
No, I'm not saying a hotel. I'm talking about one of those places where, you know, all the seasonal workers, the bartenders, the waiters, the dishwashers, you know, one of those type houses. That's where I would guess. But we're all speculating. We're gonna have a guy on talking about this who's covering the story right when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I don't know that this is Mission Impossible, but it's a pretty interesting crime scene on Martha's Vineyard. And there was a bank robbery this morning around 8:15. The Rockland Trust Bank in Vineyard Haven was robbed. These three robbers were there with white masks on, and they tied up the employees as they came to work, and they grabbed a bunch of money, and they stole a car, and they've recovered the car. They don't know where the robbers are. They're still at large. They thought they might have escaped on the ferry or maybe a boat. Who knows? They thought they might be in Falmouth, but it turns out they aren't in Falmouth. They weren't in Falmouth, so they must still be. They think they're still on the island of Martha's Vineyard, which there's not that many people on the island at this time of year. So joining us now to talk about this is a reporter who's covering the scene. His name is Tim Dunn, and he's in the Cape Cod Bureau of WBZ Radio, one of our iHeart sister stations in Boston. Tim, what's the latest news you can give us about the manhunt for these guys, the robbers?
Well, thanks for having me on, Howie. And you pretty much just said it, that, you know, it so far has ended right now in Falmouth, and it's continuing on the Vineyard, the search. I was down there at the Holiday Inn on Jones Road for a few hours, and there's a bunch of local schools around, too. So it was really chaotic because the police had to not evacuate schools, but put them in shelter in place. And the parents had to pick them up down the road. But what Police Chief Ed Dunn did tell us, though, is that the FBI, local and state police, thoroughly searched each room of that hotel. They came up with nothing, no evidence, no really anything that they were there. I can tell you the theories of how they got off the island and got to Falmouth I got throughout the day, and the tips I got were, you know, somewhat of an action movie. You know, powerboats were involved.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting the same thing on the text line. You know, every exactly. Movie you've ever seen in the last 30 years, people are coming up with the plot lines for it. But, I mean, what led them to think that they were in Falmouth?
Chief Dunn, all he said was there was a credible tip. He didn't really elaborate too much on that. I'm not sure if that has to do with any investigation that's still going on, that tip, but that's all he gave us.
Well, what is the what's the theory now on, are they on the vineyard or are they off the vineyard?
Chief Dunn didn't say it as a fact or a statement, but he did tell us that in his opinion, he feels that they may still be on the vineyard. I'd have to imagine that too. It'd be pretty hard to get over here, you know, and again, unless you had a big powerboat and it was a big elaborate scheme. But and as you guys were talking about earlier, the Vineyard population is pretty small year round, only 10,000 to 15,000 people. It just seems very difficult to get lost in the crowd in the middle of November on Martha's Vineyard.
Well, do we know anything about the robbers? I know they were wearing masks, and it's a lot easier to be wearing a mask now than it used to be 2 or 3 years ago. But do we, for instance, do we know anything about their, and at the risk of being, un-PC, do we know anything about their accents, for instance? Has anybody said anything about that?
Nothing on that. Reporters in that media scrum with the police chief did ask about that, and he just referred everything to the Tisbury police, who were who patrolled the Vineyard Haven area where the Rockland Trust was. The papers, the local papers on the vineyard, are really hammering down the events of this morning. As you said earlier, the three suspects, no idea on the names, and they came in and, you know, armed robbery, and they tied those guys up and stole one of the employees' car.
And what do we know what they used to tie him up? I mean, we're thinking about zip ties after the San Francisco problem with Pelosi's husband. But did they use rope or the zip ties?
I haven't been able to nail that down. I did hear some rumors back and forth from where I was standing, you know, outside of the Holiday Inn, that, you know, zip ties, maybe rope, kind of the same speculation that I'm imagining you and your listeners have been going through now.
Wow. So they got they got the FBI down there. They got state police. They got the dogs, and they got the local cops. So it's night is falling on the vineyard. It really is like a movie, isn't it? You know that the guys are in some place somewhere, some house, and they're looking out, and the sun is going down. It's just it's sort of an interesting different type of story, isn't it, than we've been used to for the last few months.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly here on Sleepy Cape Cod in the vineyard, aside from the whole migrant situation in the vineyard, this is probably the biggest story that's happened. And, people on the vineyard who live year round can go to bed tonight pretty much knowing that they're somewhere out there on the, most likely on the island. If they got off, the only thing I can't imagine anywhere else they would go besides that hotel or where they have success going. But it looks like they're doing a good job so far.
Yeah. Yeah, someone says, are they going to go door to door? Do we know if they're going to go door to door? Are they telling people to like not go out tonight on Martha's Vineyard? Because what's the phrase? Shelter in place. Have there been any alerts like that on the island?
I can tell you in Falmouth. No, on the island it's a bit harder to say. We didn't have any access to state police down here at the hotel. Only Chief Dunn was available. FBI wasn't available to speak with us either. So, but he did assure us that there is no more searching. At least over here in Falmouth, they're pretty confident that these guys aren't in town at all.
Okay, all right, Tim Dunn, thank you for being with us, and please call if you hear anything and let us know what's going on. That's Tim Dunn. He's from the Cape Cod Bureau of WBZ Radio, AM 1030, our the all news station in Boston. Thank you, Tim. 844-500-4242. Someone's saying maybe they swam to the Forbes family island. No, Sean. They'll be turned back by the gatekeepers unless they can show their entry in the social register. Because that's owned by the Forbes family, you know. It's not open to people like you and me who didn't come over on the Mayflower. 844-500-4242. I'm surprised that Ryan is taking a lot of heat on the text line. People don't seem to like what he was saying, but I don't know. I mean, there may be something to what he said. I just can't believe that abortion could be a big issue with quote unquote college educated voters. Because as I said, if you're a quote unquote college educated voter, I think you can do 5 minutes of research. And that's all it would take to see that this really has zero impact on your life. Unless maybe you live in Mississippi or Alabama, some place like that. But very few people live there. And it really, you just go to another state anyway. So I think the problem here is that, especially with younger voters, you're not dealing anymore with low-info voters. You're dealing with no info voters, and so the Democrats I guess understand that. I saw the story last week. I mentioned it on the air that the Democrats had spent over $300 million on abortion ads. $300 million. And if you just are in New England watching the stations, the TV stations that run into New Hampshire, whether they're in Boston or Portland or Vermont, you would think that all the $300 million was just spent on those stations alone, advertising against Caroline Leavitt and Don Bolduc. But I guess they went full bore with this. 844-500-4242. Let's see here, Jay, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jay.
Howie, before I talk about my policy of mailing in ballots and drop boxes, I want to tell you about Bob Dylan. Had a song, "I Used to Care, But Things Have Changed." You really, yes, really much should give that a listen. It's a really good, good song.
You know, that's one of his newer songs, and I'd never heard it, so I looked it up when I read about it. And it's, that's such a great lyric. You know, I was just looking at Maggie's farm. I'm going to be listening to Maggie's farm in the cryo tomorrow. He hands me a nickel. He hands me a dime. He asks me with a grin if I'm having a good time. What a great song. And it's 4 minutes, just as long as I'm in the cryo. But anyway, go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Jay, yeah. I'm going to use, next time I vote in the 2024 Olympic voting, I'm going to use mail-in ballots, drop boxes, absentee ballots. I'm going to go in person, and then I'm going to move to a new address and vote again. I figure if I get five different sources, this might constitute a Republican victory based on the corruption that the Democrat, especially in Arizona. And I think Carrie Lake is protesting it or contesting it.
It's tough, though. It's tough once those ballots go in. They're all contaminated. I've told you this before. I listened to WMAL in Washington in the mid-morning hours, Chris Plant's show, and they're covering races in Maryland. I think it was one in Frederick County, Maryland, the executive, the top, like being the mayor of the county. And the Republican was ahead by 9,000 votes on Election Day. So here it is. It's 10 days later. And his lead, because of the mail-in ballots, this is in one county in Maryland, and I think it's slightly outside the Beltway, so it's not totally blue. But the Republican was ahead by 9,000 votes on election night. 10 days later, there's 5,000 mail-in votes still to be counted, and he's only ahead by 1,500 votes. So, I mean, how many races are there like this going around? And look at it in Massachusetts. You have two state rep races that are in Republican districts, and the Republicans are barely hanging on to leads, if they're in a lead at all, as the quote unquote mail-in ballots continue to be tallied. And you know, the Republicans are going after votes and the Democrats are going after ballots. 844-500-4242. 508. I agree with Ryan's analysis. Two daughters, 26, 29, voted Dem first time. And it's not abortion, it's women's rights. Dems and media have sold it to all. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a guy. I got daughters, though. And I don't see abortion as women's rights. I don't even, again, if you're in 95% of the country, it's not an issue, period. You know? And then for the other 5%, 95% of those people in the 5% of the country can go somewhere else to get an abortion if they really need one. So, you know, it's hysteria. It's hysteria. I wish people paid more attention to the news, real news, and less attention to Facebook or other social media. You know that I love MyPillow's products, and I'm excited that they've created the best, most luxurious, and absorbent towels ever. Don't throw in the towel. Get the Howie Carr Show special of 6 towels for just $39.95. They normally go for $89. The set includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Wow. Just call 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie to get this special offer. Don't like them? Don't worry. You know that MyPillow has a 10-year warranty, and they just announced that they are extending their 60-day money-back guarantee. That's right. Orders placed between now and Christmas, December 25th, will have their money-back guarantee extended through March 1st, 2023. Happy holidays to everyone. Get yours by calling 800-658-4965 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener's Specials box to get deep discounts on other MyPillow products, too. Dry off with MyPillow's luxurious towels by going to MyPillow.com, and don't forget to use the code word Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Knock it off with them negative waves! Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change?
Howie Carr.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
Little Feet. 844-500-4242. Martha's Vineyard Times doing a pretty good job on this story about the armed robbery. A car stolen from one of the bank employees was dumped in the state forest in a small parking lot off Barnes Road. The lot has been cordoned off with yellow tape, and a state police dog could be seen working to find a trail. A source with knowledge, this is again the Martha's Vineyard Times, a source with knowledge of the investigation told the Times trail cameras in the woods picked up images of the suspects fleeing through the woods. Those dogs are pretty good, you know? I mean, they're not infallible or anything. And I don't think they're not blood. These aren't bloodhounds. I don't think they use bloodhounds anymore, at least up here. But they can follow a trail. So it turns out that the Falmouth Holiday Inn that they had staked out, a source with knowledge of that investigation said the people that were suspected turned out to be construction workers. 508 has a good point about this abortion thing. The left has done a successful job with branding that voting Dem means you're high status. Trump supporters are low status. Young women are very obsessed with their perceived status on social media, so they get swept up into voting for the high status brand. Ugh. I hope you're not right, but I suspect you're onto something there. 207, they convinced women that they lost a right. Yeah. I'm in Connecticut. Abortion rights were added into our state constitution in the late 80s, early 90s, so all the gyms used in their all the Dems used it in their advertising this year, and it worked. Yeah, but I mean, so it's in the constitution. Like Maine passed a law saying if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, it's still in effect in Maine. So you have abortion rights. So how could the Maine Democrats use it against Republicans? But they did. They did. The Dems knew that it was not an issue, just like Social Security was not an issue. I'm more angry though at Lindsey Graham. I think it seems so absurd when he did it. Why would he do something that dumb? 844-500-4242. Carol, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, Howie. I'm a college-educated voter, and I frankly find the insinuation that college-educated women are so monolithic in how they think that they would all vote for abortion because that's what matters the most to them. That is entirely untrue. This country is falling apart. I think voter fraud has more to do with what got the Democrats in office, and the proof is the fact that there isn't very much of it in Florida, and the Republicans swept everything in Florida. There's massive right. voter fraud in the state of Massachusetts. I know because I was working at a phone bank for Scott Brown, and the first time he ran, and 1 in 5 of the independent voters listed, a computer-generated list of people who had voted in the 2008 election where Obama was elected, 1 in 5 of them were foreign nationals who weren't even citizens who told me they did not vote.
I don't know what to say. It's just, there is obviously voter fraud, but I mean, they have pretty loose voter laws in New York, and there was a modified red wave. The Democrats lost 4 House seats in New York, and Zeldin came pretty close to knocking off Hochul, and it's a lot tougher for a Republican to win a statewide race in New York. So there's obviously massive voter fraud going on in the United States. But I think there's more to it than that. But that's voter fraud isn't the only thing. 844-500-4242. Pat, very quickly, Pat, go ahead.
Hi, Howie. Good to talk to you.
Good.
I'm calling from the Vineyard regarding the armed robbery.
Yeah.
And we have 15,000 to 17,000 year-round population here, so it's you could get lost. And you know, we have a large population, homeless population, that lives in the woods. And where they found that car in the state forest, my guess is that they're just in the woods somewhere.
What's the temperature going down to tonight on the Vineyard? Okay, thanks, Pat. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.